Okay. Afternoon's a terrible time to have a class. Everyone gets sleepy. So I'll talk very softly and you can snooze. We were talking about the eighth of the eight, eight parts of posture, right? The eighth one was your breath. And then we were discussing the purpose to do that. So anyway, they were talking about why to do breath meditation. And, people think I'm ragging on the Vipassana thing, right? My first meditation teacher was Goenka. He gave a 10-day program in Dharamsala when I was living there. And the Dalai Lama required us to go. And he required all the monks from Nechu Monastery to go. And they cleared out the Tibetan library, and we slept in the library for 10 days. The boys in one part of one floor and the girls in another floor. And then Goenka taught us meditation. Who's the big breath meditation person? Vipassana. Vipassana is Pali. Is an old corrupted Sanskrit called Pali. The Sanskrit is Vipassana. So there a discussion, people have asked me, you know, when you talk about breath meditation as not being the goal, but only a tool, where do you get that from? And it's from here. Okay. So now if anyone ever asks you, the clarification of the use of breath meditation comes in this scripture at this time. Also in the Abhidhamma Kosha, in the chapter on meditation, okay, if you're interested. So they're discussing what is the motivation for doing breath meditation. And the idea is that you shouldn't try to go from a very busy state of mind to a meditative state of mind directly. It's too much of a clash, and you probably won't be able to do it. So you should first... you're very busy, your mind is very busy, then do breath meditation, and it will slow the mind down, and then you can switch over to meditating. But it's not a meditation. It's just a segue. It's just a linking. It's a vinyasa, right? To link to meditation. It's not a meditation in itself. It's just a tool to prepare the mind for meditation. So he gave an we closed last night with an example where he told a story, a funny story. It's winter in Tibet. You go to your room, your meditation room. Somebody's sitting on your cushion, on your carpet, and you want to get them off. Then if you confront them directly, get off of my meditation cushion. It's too cold for me to sit on the floor, right? If you confront them directly and you say, get off, then they might not do it. I don't know about you, but if somebody tells me not to do something, I do it. And if somebody tells me how wonderful I am and then tells me to do something else, I'll do it. You see what I mean? Like at work, the boss used to say, you have to stay late. And I would say, no, fire me. Just fire me. I'm leaving at 5 o'clock. You know? And there was this standoff. What do you call it? Mexican standoff. And then one day he calls me in at 5 o'clock and he says, you know, you're the backbone of this company. And we have this huge order for diamonds for such, so and so. And there's really no one else in the company who can pull this together except you. And I'm like, I'm there, man. And he says, you'll just have to stay a few hours later. And then I'm like, sure, And it's like that. You don't confront your mind. You don't say, don't be busy, You trick your mind. In the metaphor that he explained, you told your mind, you told the guy on your carpet, you wouldn't believe what's happening behind the house right now. And he doesn't trust you. He's like, what's happening behind the house? And you say, it's okay, you stay there. I'm going to go check it out. You just stay there. And then he gets up. and runs after you. And then you hide in the closet. He runs past. You go back and sit on your cushion, right? And the idea is that you do the same with your mind in meditation. Let's watch the breath for a while, okay? You don't say, don't be busy, don't think about Facebook, you know, don't think about pancakes, Geshe Michael. Let's just watch breath for a while. And then you can shift your mind over, okay? So that he just finished that section. Now he says, Deshin Du, like that, Semla Chaksok Mikewadan Chepe Kup. When your mind is overcome by, say, thinking about breakfast, okay, during meditation, Utsuk Chekyang, say Utsuk. Utsuk. It's a good colloquial word if you speak to Tibetans. Utsuk. Utsuk means to be stubborn. Utsuk means to be stubborn. Utsuk Chekyang, if you're stubborn to your mind, Chekyang, Gokka. It's difficult to stop thinking about breakfast, okay? It's going to be difficult. If you confront your mind, it will be difficult to switch over. Gokashin Dewe. By the way, those of you who are studying Tibetan, you should note the Dewe. The small words are the hardest in any language, okay? Dewe is what tense? I'm sorry, what case? Like locative or accusative or genitive or instrumental, dative. What normally an S added to it, anything makes it, it makes it instrumental, by me or by it or by him, okay? But very rarely in the Tibetan language, their instrumental is used for the comparative, okay? So dewe here doesn't mean because of that. It means rather than that. Okay? Or what would be better than that is, okay, so those of you studying Tibetan, you should learn that. Okay. Dewe ugdo ong asem tena, if rather you focus your mind on the passage of the breath in and out of your body, dela gokorne. You will gokor your own mind. We had it last night, gokor. You will trick your own mind, okay? You will pull a fast one on your own mind, gokor, okay? And then, nyomon ko shine, the thinking about breakfast, which he calls here a klesha, will stop. And sem seldeb dewe yuno. Ge sem seldeb dewe yuno. And it will be easy to bring the mind into a virtuous state, okay? Before you meditate, okay? Yang sem mi gewa dang sunden e masonwa, gesem sel dab lana, uk dang bangepa mi gope. Masong, right? Do you see it there somewhere? Masong means if it hasn't happened, what? The mind, sem, is sunden with mi gewa, okay? Sem means the mind, mi gewa means a unkind state of mind, right? An unkind state of mind. What does sungden mean? Linked. Linked how? In five different ways. We talked about it last night. Okay, it comes again. If you don't know Abhidhamma, you can't read this book. Okay? If the mind is not linked to non-virtue, meaning if you don't have a problem with your state of mind, okay? Gesem seldeb la. And if it's easy for you to slide into a kind or compassionate state of mind, lana, utramba ngepa mi gut, you don't have to do the breath thing. Okay? If your mind is already peaceful when you sit down to meditate and you're not obsessed with breakfast or some problem you're having in your life, then he said ngepa mi gut means you don't definitely have to do it. Okay? You can skip it. Okay, Migope, that's why he said back in the beginning of this section, we said the eight aspects of a good meditation posture or, right? I made a big deal about the or yesterday. Here it comes. Or ge dam dun, eight or dun, seven. Okay? All right? That's why there's such a controversy, or it's not clear whether Viral Chana's meditation posture has 7 parts or 8 parts, because sometimes number 8 can be skipped. Sometimes the breath meditation can be skipped if your mind is already soft and gentle. Okay? That's a real key point, he says. So don't get confused. If you see in scripture, you'll see the 7 steps of Viral Chana. And sometimes you'll see the 8. Okay? Now he's going on to a really important thing. Okay? This is probably the most important discussion of how to prepare for a meditation session. Okay? Here comes the most important part. I mean, if you get your feet off, it's okay. If one shoulder's a little higher, that's okay. But if you don't know this section, you're in trouble. You will have a bad meditation. Here it comes. Whether you find you have to do the breath meditation or not, tungi gor, at the beginning of the meditation session, ge sem kepar chen sel dep gupa, you must try to bring the mind into an exceptional state of motivation. Okay? You must be meditating for the right reason. And that's the most important preparation for meditation. It's not your feet. It's not your back. It's not how you breathe. It's why the heck are you doing meditation today? Why are you doing it? Okay? If you don't have a good motivation for doing it, you won't do it every day. Okay? You won't be able to do it every day. Okay? So now he's going to discuss the importance of motivation before you do your meditation. You got to examine your own heart and ask yourself, why are you meditating today? Because otherwise you won't be able to keep up a habit of meditating every day. You got to be doing it for a good reason, or you'll stop. Sooner or later you'll stop. Okay? Here we go. Deyan gejor jinda shik chekyang toma kunun chupa gelche de. He says, before you do any spiritual practice at all in your life, it could be yoga, it could be meditation, it could be studying scripture, it could be going to the nursing home or the homeless shelter to help cook or something like that. Before you go, you should pause and ask yourself, why am I doing this? Okay? Otherwise, you'll poop out. Otherwise, you will fade. Okay? You gotta get in the habit of pausing before you leave your home and saying, why am I leaving? What do I want out of going to the homeless shelter? Why am I going? Okay? Kunlong chupa. Say kunlong chupa. Kunlong chupa. You got it up there, Nimbo? That ch is not spelled the same as the Dharma. Ch. It has an apostrophe in front of it. It has an ao prefix letter. It changes the meaning completely, okay? This chupa means to fix or repair or to renew. And here it means to renew your motivation. Kunlong chupa is one of the most important concepts in this 1,000 pages of this book. How do you get the right motivation? You're going to go to the prison this afternoon to teach. If it's Sawara prison, they're going to be talking and goofing off and the warden's going to yell at you. Then you better have a good motivation before you go. You better stop before you leave your house and think, why am I going? Okay? Kunlong chupa. Khel chete. Jetun tsongkapa chen bubuki komchen namla gomkin nelad sambe tiwal haksam rabgar tu. Jetun kapa chenbo means the great tsongkapa, teacher of His Holiness the First Dalai Lama, and who started our lineage, okay? There are signs even in the monk's robes, okay? He adjusted the monk's robes. He added this blue thread here, okay? Blue is barely legal in monks' colors. We're allowed 3 colors, blue, red, and gold, saffron, right? So it's just allowed to have a little bit of blue or any blue can be there. He added this blue, and he added this sleeve. He changed the sleeve, okay? And he started this undershirt of gold undershirt, right? So he, when he started that lineage in Tibet, he made changes to the outfit, you know. In India, it was illegal to wear this color. No Buddhist monk in India could have ever worn this color, you know. It had to be saffron. And it was required that it was one piece. It looks like a sari. It goes on like a sari, okay? And it was required in India. So the Tibetans, when Buddhism came to Tibet, they made adjustments to fit Buddhism to their country. And I think we are going through that process now. And we need to do it formally, you know? We are not Tibetan. We didn't grow up on buttered tea and, you know, roasted barley flour and yaks and, you know, like that. We are different country. And I think if Buddhism is going to be healthy and vibrant here, we need to make a lineage. It has to be a more of a... I used to say American lineage, but now our group worldwide is many thousands of people in all countries. And most major countries, we have groups. So I was thinking you have to call it something like modern or new or something like that, rather than calling it American lineage. It's not really an American lineage anymore. It's a new lineage, and it's global. I was thinking to call it New World, but I'm not quite ready yet, okay? She said no. Okay, anyway, think of something better. It has to be modern, and it has to be global. Like, I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and that broke off from the Anglican Church in England. At some point, they said, we're not the same. We're not British. We're American, you know? And I think it will come. Anyway, Jetsun Kapa did it in Tibet. He broke off into a new lineage, okay? Which is now the lineage, right? One of the main lineages. So he said, somebody asked him questions about, there's a book of questions that he was asked by his students about meditation. And we have this book, okay? It's called Shaksam Rabkar. What's Laksam? The buck stops here. It's a buck stops here. Okay, I had it this week. You know, like, there's lots of problems at Diamond Mountain, and there's lots of discussions going on. And then I just realized at some point, yeah, the buck stops here. Sue me. You know what I mean? That's Laksam. Laksam means, okay, yeah, I run the prison program. And if something doesn't go well, that's my fault. And I accept that responsibility gladly. When you accept ultimate responsibility, the karma is a zillion times more. And the problems are a zillion times more. But the karma outweighs the problems, okay? It's still better to say, okay, I'm responsible. Laksam means I take responsibility. I personally am responsible. I take responsibility. Okay? So he called his book Pure White Sense of Responsibility. His book is called A Pure White Sense of Responsibility. I looked it up. The full name of the book is A Song for Opening Pure Hearts, consisting of responses to questions posed with motivations of purest white. Okay? So it actually refers to the motivation of the students who asked him the questions. And they said, okay, this is a thing. In our lineage, we have 4,500 books which came from India. Okay, they're not Tibetan. They were written in India before Buddhism came to Tibet. Okay, they stretch from a period of 2,500 BC up to 1,000 AD. There were 4,500 books written. 1,500 are by Lord Buddha. They're divided into sutras and tantras. The tantras are more. Okay, the secret teachings are more than the open teachings. And they come first because they're higher. Then there are 3,000 Indian commentaries. Okay. Now there's a custom in Tibet that in our canon of 4,500 texts, before each book starts, they give the title of the book in Sanskrit. Okay. First, they give the original title of the book in Sanskrit, and then they go ahead with the whole Tibetan translation. Okay. And maybe more than half of those originals have been lost, and they only exist in Tibet. Maybe out of those 4,500 books, maybe several thousands are gone in Sanskrit. We don't have the Sanskrit. Anyway, in the opening line of every canonical work in our tradition is the Sanskrit title. Okay? That's a tradition. Now, one of Jetsun Kapa's students raised his hand in the class where Jetsun Kapa offered to answer questions about meditation, and the student said, "What is it before meditation which is as necessary at the beginning as the Sanskrit title?" Okay? What is it, Jetsun Kapa? I've heard lamas say that before every original scripture, you should give the Sanskrit title. And before every meditation session, there's the equivalent of the Sanskrit title, meaning something which is sine qua non, totally necessary at the beginning. So they're asking him, what's the one thing you need to do before you start your meditation? And what's he going to say? You know what he's going to say. Ganyan Shep 2-1 Zepa. Jetsun losan chu genki, chilen losan shepe dayangne. Then Pabokur Meche chose to give the answer from another book. His Holiness the First Panchen Lama, who lived, he was born about 200 years after Jetsun Kapa. Okay? He offered a response in one of his books. All right? So it's confusing. If you're reading the Lama, it's a little confusing. Dinlo Sang Shepe Dayang, it's called the song of the explanation of Lobsang. Who's Lobsang? It is, but here it refers to Losang Dharpa, which is Jetsun Kapa's name, his monk's name. So he wrote a book saying, "I'll give the answer for Tsongkhapa." Okay, here it is. Gomnan kung ki tambu go gyagar ke tsunrangi la lepar takpa yino she dame lama chokke she. Oh, you, my matchless lama. Who's he talking to? Tsongkhapa. First Panchen Lama is talking to Jetsun Kapa 200 years before. Oh, you, my matchless lama. Okay. What did you say was as important at the beginning of a meditation session as writing the Sanskrit title before a scripture? What did you say was most important? Rangyu la tak. Say rangyu la tak. Examine your heart. Look into your heart. Okay. Gomnam kunki dambu go means that's the doorway to a meditation session. You step into a meditation session when you examine your motivation. Why am I doing this meditation? Okay. Why am I doing this? Lekpa takpa she. That was your answer, wasn't it, Jetsun Kapa? He said, he wrote that. Okay. So the most important of all, before you meditate, if you skip the butter lamp, okay. If the wrong foot is on top, okay. But you've got to ask yourself, why the heck am I meditating today? You know, why? Okay. It also applies to a yoga session or studying scripture or going to the homeless shelter. You have to ask yourself on the way, why am I doing this? Dole chunam tamje kenyin te dumbe tsala rabdunne. Dole means from a sutra, okay? When they don't know the sutra, they say from sutra. And I didn't have time to look it up, so I'll look it up for you sometime. Venerable Phil's going to prepare the congregation for me. So anyway, chunam tamche kenyente. Everything that exists has a cause. Everything that exists has a cause. Not technically true, but it's okay. Dumbe tsala raptune. And the root of all practice is your motivation. Okay? The root of all practice is your motivation. She dang lopen lu drup ki kyang. So he quoted, by the way, he's giving lungi drup, say lungi drupa. Rigpe drupa. Lungi drupa. Rigpe drupa. In Buddhist tradition, there are two ways to prove anything. In the Buddhist tradition, there are two ways to prove anything. One is logic. Give a reason why. You tell your husband or your partner, you should wash the dishes, you know. And then he'll say, why? And then you've got to have lung ready, and you've got to have rigpa ready, okay? Rigpa means logic, you know. Logic means, I cooked, there's only the two of us here, therefore, you should wash the dishes, okay? Like, that's logic, okay? Then lung. Lung means pull out an authority, scriptural authority. Geshe Michael said in Phoenix when we were there that we had to straighten up our room first. And we can't have dishes lying around when we're going to meditate. So therefore, you should do the dishes. That's not totally logical, but it's okay. So what he's doing, by the way, there's a lovely monk in New Jersey, his name is Lung Rick, right? His name is logic and scriptural authority. Okay, his lama named him logic and scriptural authority, okay? Lung Rick. So anyway, we're getting the lung. It's typical to start the lung with the oldest authority and then work your way up, okay? So first he started with Do, which means what? Sutra. Sutra says the root of all things is your motivation. Now he's pulling out Ludrup. Who's Ludrup? Nagarjuna, okay? Arya Nagarjuna. The greatest Tibetan thinker, you know, until Tsongkhapa or something like that. After the Buddha. Durja Shedan Tumuksum Deke Leni Migewa Macha Midan Timugme Deke Leni Gewao. He's talking about Durchak, Shedan, and Timuk, okay? These have been mistranslated. I think those of you who have been around for a while, you know that one of my pet peeves, I have many pet peeves, but as far as teaching Buddhism, but one of them is how you translate these three words, okay? Durchak, Shedan, and Timuk. These are the three roots of all negative emotions. Okay, the first one, you can call it desire. I don't like to call it desire. Why? Because that implies that all desires are wrong, and they are not. Okay, you can have a desire to have Jared come and help you set up your solar system, and that's a legal, clean, correct desire which will help the world. You know, that's okay. I wish he would come. It's not evil to help me with my solar, okay? So you have to translate this as, I like to call it ignorant desire or ignorant liking of something, okay? It's defined as the ignorant desire that you get something that you want. Okay? Why do we say ignorant? So I have a donut here, okay? Somebody was probably listening to my classes 10 years ago when I liked these things. Maple-covered donut. So, I still like them. I don't eat them so much anymore because they're not healthy, I guess. So anyway, is it wrong to like a donut? No. Does it hurt anybody if you like donuts? No, I mean, as long as you don't shoot your way into the Dunkin' Donuts, you know. It's okay to have a donut. They're nice. They're nice. One bite is okay. I still might take another one later. But anyway, but to steal it from someone else, Or to, you know, you're in a group of people and you take the last donut without thinking of the other people. That's wrong. That desire is wrong. Why?
It'll hurt you.
It'll hurt you. If you shared the donut, you would get a zillion more. If you eat the last donut, that's the last one you're going to get. Okay? It's just dumb. Okay? You can call it dumb desire. Okay? So Aryanagarjuna is talking about dumb desire. Wanting something without understanding that the way to get it is to share it. Okay? That sharing is why I got this donut here, because I shared a donut in the past. Okay? That's all. All things come from sharing. Right? To want anything and be unwilling to share to get it is ignorant, because it doesn't work. Okay? And then Shedang is the opposite of that. I don't want that thing, so I am willing to hurt someone to avoid it. Okay? I don't want somebody saying something bad about me. So I will criticize them. Okay? Like that. In order that someone shouldn't criticize me, I will try to hurt them. See what I mean? And that's just ignorance. That's not the way you get someone to stop criticizing you. If you were more positive and encouraging to other people, or less judgmental secretly in your mind, then people would stop criticizing you. You don't have to go and fight them, you know what I mean? Like that, okay? That's ignorant disliking. So now we have ignorant liking, and we have ignorant disliking. And then the third one is ignorance itself, okay? The dumbness which bears those two kinds of emotions. Got it? Why is Aryanagarjuna being quoted here? Because he goes on to say, nothing good can come of them. It's not possible. Okay? Nothing good can come of them. It's not possible. Right? That's very, very powerful. That's very, very powerful. If the root is bad, the tree will be bad. The leaves will be poison. If the root is poison, the leaves are poison and the fruit is poison. Okay? If the initial motivation for doing something is poison, it cannot come out right. It will always be wrong, okay? Something will go wrong, okay? What's he talking about? Every virtuous practice you ever did, oh boy, okay? Every meditation you ever did, every yoga session you ever did, okay? If your motivation going into Anton's yoga class this morning was, I should get something, you see? I should get something, and I don't care if anyone else gets it in the class. I should be able to do a handstand, you know? You know? If the motivation is at the expense of other people, then at some point your yoga practice will go bad. You will hurt yourself. Something will go wrong, okay? That class will not help you. Because the first 2 minutes, the thought was wrong. The desire was wrong, okay? I want to look the best in the class. And I want other people to look worse than me. Okay? You're not sharing, right? You want something for me. And you want to eat the donut and not share it, right? And then something will go wrong. Something in your yoga practice will go wrong. You'll hurt your shoulder, or you'll have a fight with your yoga teacher, or something will go wrong. Okay? So the first 5 minutes of a meditation session, the first 5 minutes of yoga, as you step on your mat, right, you got to bring up some noble motivation. You got to pull up something, you know. I will do yoga. I will look fantastic. That's not wrong. I will be thin and strong and handsome or beautiful. That's fine. That's not wrong. So that I can help more people. So people will be attracted to me and they will listen to me. You see, you got to have that extra motivation. It's not wrong to wish to look good or to be smart or to be wealthy. These are not wrong. If you use them for the right thing, you see? So it's not a big thing to change the motivation, right? I'm not saying you should get up on your mat and say, I don't want to look good. And I hope I can't do a handstand. And I hope I'm the worst person in the class, you know? What do you call it? Whipping yourself. It's bad. That's also stupid. We're not allowed to do that kind of stuff. The The motivation should be beautiful and exciting. I'm going to do my yoga. I'll be strong. I'll be healthy. I can help more people. I can go to more homeless shelters, you know, and people will listen to me because I'm not overweight and I'm not, you know, tired all the time, and I have energy, and I should look good, and I should be happy, and I should have energy, and then people will want to be in my class. You see what I mean? Then the motivation becomes sweet. If you don't go the extra step, it's poison. And then the yoga itself, something will go wrong, okay? That's what Arya Nagarjuna is saying, okay? What I'm trying to impress on you, it doesn't, you don't have to be a saint to have the right motivation. You just expand on your own natural selfishness, okay? That's what Shantideva said, you know? I want to be cool. I want to look good, you know? I want to have some muscles like Anton Mackie, you know? And so that I can serve people. If you add the last part, you're safe. Okay? And why not? It's not wrong to be healthy or to look healthy or to, you know, that's not wrong. It's nice. But do it for others. Okay? I will be handsome for others. Like that. I will be healthy so I can teach more people. Like that. It's not a big, the extra words are not a big deal. Just stick them on and you're, then it becomes a bodhisattva activity, okay? Then suddenly it becomes a bodhisattva activity, okay? It doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to give up anything. Oh, I want to be ugly so I can serve people. You know, you're not supposed to say that, okay? All right, here we go. If you do the opposite, then if the motivation is sweet, the yoga cannot go wrong. The yoga cannot go wrong, okay? Something beautiful will come out of any activity if you enter it with a good heart. You will have obstacles. Bad things will happen. The greater the good that you try to do, the greater the bad things will come to you. But in the end, it will be beautiful. You will just roll over those obstacles, okay? If the motivation is pure, you cannot lose. It cannot fail. You cannot fail. It's not possible. Okay. Joe Chembu. Sawa tuk yena yelka dang loma ang tuk. Who's Joe Chembu? Lord Atisha. Joe means the great Lord. And when you say Lord in our lineage, it always means Atisha. Lord Atisha. Okay. Sawadukina, if the root of the bush is poisonous, the leaves and the fruit will also be poisonous. Okay? He means if you get on your yoga mat only wishing to be the best student in the class, something bad will happen. Okay? Something will go wrong. Alright? Sawa me yina yagada loma men du yongwa shindu. Men means oshada in Sanskrit. Oshada is herbs. Sometimes they are, what do you call, hallucinogens, like datura. But oshada can also mean men. It typically means medicine. You know medicine Buddha is what? Men la. That lama is lama, by the way, and it's not la. It's not the Tibetan word for God or deity. It's the Tibetan word for lama. When you say men la, it's not men sa, okay? It's men la. Men la means lama. The medicine lama, okay? So what he's saying here is men. Men means medicine, or men means herbs which do good things, okay? So the whole tree could be called men or something, right? Like a dandelion is men. Agaru is men. Basil, chamomile, these are all men, okay? They are beneficial for you, normally. So if the root of the plant is men, then the leaves and the fruit are also men. Okay? Got it? If the motivation is sweet, you cannot have a problem later. It's not possible. If a big problem comes up when you're trying to do a virtuous thing, where is that coming from? Is it coming because you tried to do a virtuous thing? It's not. It cannot be. It must be that you messed up with somebody else's virtuous thing last year. Okay? You put some obstacle in somebody else's way. Now you have an obstacle. But it's not possible to start a yoga class with a sweet motivation and hurt yourself. It's not possible. If you do hurt yourself, that's because you hurt somebody before that. Got it? But the motivation will bring something sweet. Must. It must bring something sweet. It always works that way. So why rhubarb? I have a debate. I planted rhubarb the other day. My lamas have planted rhubarb. You know, I planted a rhubarb. It's growing very well. So I was going to make a green shake, you know. And I went out to the rhubarb and I started to cut the leaves off. And I was like, maybe I ought to look this up online. The leaves are poison, okay? The stem is very good for rhubarb pie. Anyway, we'll have to debate that. Sawat Doja Shen Tumingla Chi Che Migewa Yin. And this Lama said, Lord Atisha said, any action you undertake with the three motivations that we talked about, ignorant liking, which is why we do most actions, ignorant disliking or ignorance itself, then any action you undertake with those motivations is migewa. What's migewa? Bad karma. That's a pretty heavy statement, okay? If you start a yoga class hoping that you will look better than everybody else and not willing to share what you learn, it's a bad karma to take that class. Okay. That's pretty heavy. All right. She Sumbatar, Kunlong Nyomo Soki Kune Lang Te Tursam Gongsum Che Kyang Debu Man Namen Yidu Owa Chambo Jindang. And then Pabongkor Rinpoche says, any spiritual practice you undertake with a negative motivation is not only not a good karma, it will produce a very, very bad karmic result. Okay. You will have great suffering from that practice. Okay. We'll go for 4 more minutes and we'll take a break. Gesem Sambo Kune Langna Sokchu Sokmigewa. Do you want to do a heavy thing now or you want it after the break? Okay, this is kind of long, okay, but it's heavy. All right? Let's do it. Okay. We had a nice yoga class, we're all like pumped up. I could pass around the donut and do the bread and fish thing, but I don't think I have that power. Okay. Okay. Gesen Sangba, Kune Langna Sokchu Sogmigewa Chekyan So Lapoche Zopa Yote. It is possible. Now be careful. This discussion is dangerous. The discussion we're about to have is dangerous. I'm glad it didn't come last weekend. It's a dangerous discussion. So you must put on your thinking caps, and you must listen carefully, because if you misunderstand this teaching, you will have great suffering, okay? It's a dangerous teaching. It's a powerful teaching. You ready? Here we go. He says, and I didn't make this up, it's in the book, okay? Gesem Sambo Kune Langna, if your motivation is pure enough, Sokchu Sok Mi Ge Che Kyang, even if you commit murder, okay? Sok labo che zopa yote. It is possible that you could commit a great good karma. Okay? So I'm not saying that's true. There's a lot of small print there. Don't think anything yet. And especially don't plan on who you're going to eliminate. Okay? All right. Mun tumbe lop. You've heard this story, but here's the source. Okay? You've heard this story, but now you get to hear the real thing. Okay? There was a time, you shouldn't leave now, you'll get in trouble. Okay. Mun, in days gone by, meaning zillions of years ago, okay, Tumba, our present Buddha, Gautama, right, the present Buddha, when he was still a student on the path, okay, that's important, okay. He was not an arhat. He was still a student on the path. He had not reached nirvana yet. He was maybe similar to you and me, or a little better, okay? lam ki nekap su depa ningtop chamber kewa ship etse. He was born as a ship captain whose name was Ningtop Chambo. Ningtop Chambo means great courage. His name was great courage. Kiewashe is an interesting word. Kiewashe means doesn't mean he was born as that ship captain. She means he deigned to take a berth as a ship captain. Okay? He agreed to take a berth as a ship captain. Shepa, say, Somba ngapya dang nyamdu gyatso shukpa. He went to sea with 500 merchants in his ship. Rinpoche lune, they went to get jewels. These trips from India to pick up jewels are always to Sri Lanka. Okay? Say Rinchen Ling. Ratna Dvipa in Sanskrit. Ratna means what? A jewel. Dvipa, dvi means two, okay? The D drops off, the V becomes B, and you get bicycle. Okay? Or duo. So dvi means two. Pa means water. Dvipa means that thing which splits the water into two parts. So it's a name for an island. It's the Sanskrit word for island. Splits the water into two parts, dvipa. Okay? So they went to Sri Lanka, which is still, I mean, I used to do business there a lot in Colombo and Kandy. It's still, you can walk out in the forest and find gemstones on the ground. You know, it's incredible. Geologically, something happened there. Topaz, zircon, emerald, sapphire, ruby, everything. It's all there. It's amazing, okay? So it really is the Jewel Island. So anyway, he went off to the Jewel Island with 500 merchants to get jewels. Sur Pepse, when they were returning with the jewels, Minak, what's Nakpo? Black. Minak means a black person. And it means an evil, black-hearted person. There was a black-hearted person on board. His name was Dung Tung Chen, which means the guy with a short spear. Okay, he probably was hiding a spear under his cloak or something, okay? Shepe, Yun Chen Shiki, that's probably should be Yo Chen, but anyway, a sneaky, nasty guy with a short spear. Somba ngabya super tsambana. Some texts say he was planning. This text uses the word samba. Samba as a verb means, he started to. Okay? So this is a little more serious than you often see in scripture. Sometimes its story goes he was planning to kill the other 500. This text says sampa, which implies, in the use of that word in Tibetan means he started to kill the other five, to get their jewels, right? Sampana, depan ki, depan, the ship captain, delled him. Okay, three lines down in the middle. Say del. If you add an O sound to that, it becomes dol. What's Tara's name in Tibetan? Dolma. Okay, it means the lady who frees you. The lady who frees you is the word for Tara. This is the verb to liberate somebody. Okay, del is another form of the verb dol, which means to free somebody. But it is also the name of a practice where you send somebody's soul to a higher birth, okay? If you have that power, okay? If you have that power. Does anybody in this world have that power? I don't think so. Do I have that power? No. Do you have that power? I doubt it, okay? That power means, like a mosquito is biting you, right? If you had the power of dol, you could squeeze him and kill him and go like that, and he would be born as a human. You see, through your power. So we don't have that power. You don't have that power, okay? He had that power. Okay. So that's important, okay? Don't write in the New York Times that Geshe Michael said you could go around killing people. I didn't say that. The book says if you're a high saint, if you have the power to take a person's soul and give it to a better, put it in a better place, you can draw. Okay, that, so he did a draw. He did it for two reasons. The text says he did it for two reasons. Nekap somba ngapke sokyapa. In the short term, he wanted to protect the lives of 500 other people. In the short term, he was seeking to protect the lives of 500 other people. Puk, say puk. Puk means in the long run, ultimately. Min nak dung cheng ngen song le kyopa. He wished to protect the guy with the spear from going to hell. Okay? He was performing an act of protection on both sides. In the short run, he wants to help the 500 people. In the long run, he has the power to prevent that guy from going to hell. Okay? We don't have that power. I'm not condoning war, okay, which is what this question comes down to, or violence, okay? I'm not condoning that. We don't have that power. He had that power, okay? Dung tung yen song ne kyo pe chir, ning jay chamber, out of great love for the man, del, okay? He killed him, okay? Del would say, I don't even like to use the word, see in Tibetan, you're not allowed to use the word killed. He sent him to a better place. Okay? Zepe. Now here comes the punchline, okay? Kel Chen Shi Chi Sok Dumba. Say Kel Chen Shi Chi Sok Dumba. In a single few minutes act, he shortened his journey to enlightenment by 40,000 eons. In those few minutes, he collected 40,000 eons of good karma. And, okay, you want to know how long an eon is? Kalpa, right? Kalpa. I calculated it one time. I said the other night, right? 10 to the 60th power years. 10 with 60 zeros on it. Minimum. That's a little kalpa. There are big kalpas, okay? 40,000 times that. He collected in a few minutes by sending the person to another place. Okay? Got it? But here comes the other punchline, which I like. You should understand, Dayang means you better understand, Sokchuki le Kurangi Debur, the karma of the killing, Dzog Sopa Misi, cannot result in a good thing. Not possible. Okay? If you kill somebody, it cannot make a good karma. You will suffer. Okay? That karma is bad, and it will cause you to suffer. So Prabhupada Rinpoche is being very careful. The result of the violence was evil. He suffered from that. He made bad karma. And he suffered for many years from that bad karma, okay, of killing. But there was a separate karma that he collected from the intention. Okay, what was the intention? Kunlong Ningje Top Chembo. He was acting out of huge compassion. His motivation was compassion. And the karmic result of that far outweighed the other karmic result. Got it? Okay. The result of the compassion, the result of the intention was he shortened his journey to enlightenment by a zillion years. Okay. The result of the killing was bad karma. He suffered. Okay. He suffered for that. They say in the scripture, it says, like a basketball, he went to the hells. Ding. You know, how long that is in the hell realm, it's probably, I don't know, a couple thousand years or something, but relatively quickly he came back. So it's interesting, okay? You cannot kill somebody and make a good karma. It's not possible. The motivation can bring a good karma, okay? So be careful. Violence is wrong, okay? All right, Chimbu. By the way, he says, he describes his motivation. You ready, Ningbo and Venerable Phil? His motivation was good because it was Ning Je Top Chembo. Ning Je Top Chembo. Sound familiar? Take out the J and you have Ning Top Chembo. That was his name in that lifetime. Pabong Rinpoche is pulling a pun on us. You can miss it if you don't know Tibetan very well. Okay? out of great Mahakaruna, Nyingche Chembo, Nyingche Top Chembo, he acted. Take the J out, and that's his name. Okay? All right. Jebu Sog Lapchen Zopare. But his motivation shortened his path to enlightenment by billions of years. Okay? By billions of years. All right? So we can take a break there. I can't stop in the middle of that story, or people will go out and make virtue with the people they don't like. Okay. You have to tell this story carefully. Okay? You must tell this story carefully. It is not a justification for the use of violence. Be very careful. Be very careful of how you talk about this story. Okay? The violence led to a bad karma, and he suffered from it. What he's describing, why did he tell that story? The power of motivation. And what he's going to say later is, look, if before killing somebody, motivation is can even cause you to go faster to enlightenment, then much less a good motivation before you meditate. Okay? He's trying to sell you on good motivation before you meditate. And he gave an extreme example. Even if you kill somebody with a good motivation, the good motivation will still have a good result. But the killing will not. Okay? So he's not justifying war. He's not justifying violence. Okay? If another country's army threatens your country, then what are you supposed to do? Should you fight or should you not fight? It's a bad question. The question is wrong, okay? You shouldn't fight and you shouldn't not fight, okay? You should avoid violence. You should avoid hurting others. That's the answer, okay? What's the strategy if my country is threatened? Help other countries. Got it? It's hard to do. It's easy to talk about up here with the donut. It's hard to do. But otherwise, you're just going to suffer. If you kill back or if you sit there and let them kill you, both are wrong. Okay? You have to think about that. It applies to everything. Also criticism, things like that. Okay? All right. We'll take a break. And then she yells at you and she blames you, right? Your motivation was to make her pleased, to make her happy. And then the execution was a failure, okay? Don't ever think that the motivation caused the execution, okay? It's not cause and effect, okay? If you offer your mother-in-law a gift, out of kindness and wanting to make her happy, it must have a good result. It will never have a bad result. Her falling down in the shower was not connected to the mat. Okay? You must understand that. Why? Otherwise, you'll get discouraged. Okay? You work for 25 years for free, you know, tirelessly. You help thousands and thousands of refugees. You translate 20,000 pages of text by working in cars all night and stuff like that, you know, and then you, I don't know, etc. Then something bad happens to you. Somebody criticizes you. You can't be discouraged, okay? You can't think, it's wrong to think, oh, I should give up my translation work, or I should close down my free classes, you know? Nobody likes it. Everyone's criticizing me, you know? The criticizing is not coming from anything good you did. It's coming because you were criticizing somebody last year, or last month, okay? A good motivation cannot produce a bad result. Therefore, when you try to do a virtuous thing and things go wrong, you can't stop, okay? That's just dumb. Then you're proving that you don't know what you're doing, okay? You got to get more determined, and you have to be more kind and more compassionate. And you have to serve people more, okay? Because that's not the problems you had aren't connected to the good things you did. They're connected to something else that you did mixed in there, okay? So it's inappropriate for any of us to be discouraged when things are hard, okay? They're not connected, Okay? There's no connection. It's like saying, I'm going to give up eating breakfast because there was a rainstorm yesterday. You know, there's no connection between those two things. Okay? All right. That's one of the lessons here. All right. Here we go. Whether a karmic seed ripens powerfully or not, whether the karma comes back to you powerfully or not, all depends on your motivation, he says. Okay. Of course, it depends on other things. It probably depends more on your knowledge of how seeds work. But for now, we can say it's your motivation, okay? Then he's going to tell one of those Lamrim stories, okay? I love these stories. These are what you remember when you go home. You don't remember the philosophy so much, but you remember the story and then you remember the philosophy. You're not going to forget about the ship captain. I hope you don't forget what I said about the ship captain, okay? Or we'll have problems, okay? No, it has happened, okay? It has happened. All right, so here we go. Mun gyagar du trangbo gyarik dang. Long ago in India, there were two youths. One was a gyarik. Gyarik means, how do you say? Royal caste. Okay, he belonged to the upper caste, but he was trangbo, he was poor. It's also a military caste, okay? So he was... He wasn't like a laboring class caste or like that. So does Buddhism recognize caste? No. Do we think it's a good thing? No. Is it part of Indian history? Yes. And, you know, in a story, sometimes they will identify the caste of the person. The point is that he was poor. Okay. And Tamse Q, then there was a son of a Brahmin. Okay. This is a very high caste. This is the highest caste in India, okay, a priestly caste, and they're allowed to marry. So they, Trump say Q means a child of a Brahmin, okay? Trump say Q, Duma Shepar, Chimbe, Gendun Namki Shiase, Masul Kong, Pumi Chinpe, Chiang Machin. So that the Brahmin youth, went out to beg food, okay? By the way, the Sanskrit for food beggar is bhikshu, which is the word for monk, okay? Someone who begs for their food. But in ancient India, both Buddhist monks and Hindus, holy people, would go out asking for food at people's homes in the morning. I've been in Thailand. I opened and built an office in Thailand, a very successful office in Thailand. And sometimes people would come late for work. And I'd say, why are you late? And they said, the monks didn't come on time. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they said, well, we cook food for them in the morning before work. And then we wait on the porch. And sometimes they come late. And all Thai companies will allow you to come to work late if the monks are late. So I had to get used to that. I still had to pay them, okay? So Tramse Kyu Duma Shepar, he didn't know the proper time for going out to ask for food. Chimbe, he went too early. Gendun Namki Shalse Masul Kong Pu. The people offering the food to the monks wanted to give the first part. We talked about that the other night, which is poo, okay? Poo. They wanted to give the poo to the Buddhist monks, okay? They wanted to give the first part out of respect to Buddhist monks, just in this town or this village or whatever. So when he got there, Chiyang Wajin, they didn't give it. They said, we can't give you anything, you know? We haven't given the poo yet to the monks, okay? Gyaraki Dula Kepa, but the poor boy, he was Dula Kepa. Dula Kepa means wise in the proper time. Okay, wise about the proper time. That's the K in Kedubje, for example. Who's Kedubje? Jetsun Kapa's great, one of his greatest disciples. Shelsei Su Sine, He waited until the Buddhist monks had already gone through and gotten their breakfast. Lhakma Porembe, and when they were ready to hand out the leftovers, he knew that was the right time to come. Rembe, for those of you who are studying Tibetan, is still used in colloquial Tibetan to mean it's the right time. You know, Do Rensonge means is it time to go yet? Okay, like that. Long way. Shindu Mambu Topa, he got a lot of food. So the Brahmin youth didn't get any, and the poor boy got a lot. Okay. De Chamse Kila. Then the one boy said, the poor boy said to the Brahmin boy, which is like a royal kid, you know, he said, Kyuki Chungse Nye Dam Chepe, how did you do today? How much food did you get today? Chepe. De Chune means he got angry. The Brahmin's son got angry. Kola Wang Yuna, if I had the authority, okay? Shakya Gejong Tamje Ki Go Chungne Chete, I would rip the heads off of every Buddhist monk in this city. Okay? Sa De La Dor, and throw it on the earth like garbage. Okay? Salador. Sheik Durser, I would love to do that. I would love to have a chance to do that. Okay? Gyaurek di lakma mandu nyepe depa topa de mepa. But the other youth, the poor one, who had gotten so many yummy leftovers, and had therefore had great gratitude and faith. He said, Kola Jorba Yuna, if I had the money, okay, Ninre Shin Sangye Gendin Dan Chepala Shase Rogya Dan Demba Tabashi Dursa, I would cook a meal for Lord Buddha and all his followers in this town and serve them a tasty meal every morning. Okay? That if I had the money, I'd like to do that. Okay? He's describing two kunlongs, two intentions. One is a very violent intention, and one is a very lovely intention full of devotion. Okay? She does say, De ni ji la chik ma shing nian yun ne chung de. So they started to walk out of the city having a conversation on the road. They left from nian yun. Nian yun is... Nyen means to listen, which is shrava, and yum is means to exist, which is asti. So what's the name of the town? Shravasti, okay? Which is where the Buddha taught the diamond cutter. I like to brag that I went there on the millennium, okay? I was sitting on the stones where he taught the diamond cutter when the millennium struck. You know, I thought if the world's going to end, I'd like to be here. You know, you can still go there. It's very beautiful. Okay? So they were walking out of Shravasti. Shingdung Shitu Nyawadang. They decided to sleep at the foot of a tree. They both laid down to sleep at the foot of a tree. Shingda Kyamba Shiki Korlu Tamze Kyu Di Gochedo. A wagon went out of control on the road, went off the road, came under the tree, and the wheel of the wagon severed the head of the Brahmin youth. Cut his neck, cut his head off at the neck. Okay. De tse nyen yun na tsong bu shik pu me par shiwa dang. Kimba tam che du ne sunam che wa de pun du shago. At the same moment in Shravasti, there was a great merchant, a very wealthy merchant, who died with no issue. He died with no children, okay? And Kimbatamje Dune, so the people in the city had a meeting about what to do with his money and his property. And they said, Sunam Chewa De Pundashako, we will look for who has the best karma in our city. We'll have a karma contest, okay? And we'll see who has the best karma, and we'll give him all the money and the houses and things, you know? De nam ki takpar tsambale, So they were out looking for who had the best karma. Gyauri Kikyu De and the poor child, right? Shingi Jibala Nyelwana, he was still sleeping under the tree. I guess he didn't hear the other guy get his head cut off. Xing Shen Namki Dribma Yulkyang. By the way, that ma is not negative. It's part of Dribma, which means shadow. Okay? Dribma Yulkyang. Xing De Dribma Ma Yulwar Tongne. This is a very common thing in ancient India, okay? This, because India is hot and it's miserable. And you try to find big trees to stay under, right? And if your karma is good enough, as the sun passes across the sky, the shadow of the tree you're under will not move. Okay? The shadow of the other trees will move as the sun passes. But if the shadow is over you when you're asleep and you have enough good karma, the shadow will not move. The sun will move and the shadow will not move. That's a very famous. It happens a couple times in the sutras. So anyway, as you can guess, the poor child's tree's shadow didn't move. All the other shadows moved. Okay, they dimma mayor tongne, and the people saw. He was asleep, but people saw the shadow didn't move. So gigyapo wangkur, and so they wangkur means nowadays it means to give it a tantric empowerment, but it can also mean to, what do you call it? To coronate someone. They coronated him king of the merchants. He became the wealthiest guy in the city. They gave him all the money and all the houses and stuff. Okay. Cool. De koranki mepatar sangi gendun na chepan nyankor. Then he had the money to fulfill the wish he had expressed. Okay? He was able to honor all the monks in the city. Chen nyembe demba tong de. In other words, he was able to feed all the monks in the city. And then Demba, Chen Nian means he learned the Dharma. And then Demba Tong. What's Demba Tong? Tong. Tong Lam. He reached Tong Lam. He reached the path of seeing. He saw emptiness directly. Okay? Deitsu Dole Kyang. There's a sutra which describes this event, okay? By the way, if you care, the original event comes from the Lungi Shi. It's a Vinaya work. It's one of the first books in the canon, in the Kangya. Okay? So the story is found in the Vinaya. In the Lungi Shi, the foundation of the scriptures, okay? Then there's a poem elsewhere in the scriptures, in the canon, which describes the event again in poetry. And that's from a book called Chedujubed Song. Okay, do you care? No. Should it be recorded somewhere? Yes. Maybe someone in 100 years will want to look it up. Okay, so it's in a book called Chedujubed Song. Here's the quotation from the poetry. Chunam ngundu yidrote. So here's a versed summary of what happened. Chunam ngundu yidrote. The mind precedes all other objects. Everything in the universe is preceded by thought. It is thought which creates the universe. Yigyo yin itzoyin. And the mind is fast as lightning. And the mind is everything. Okay? Meaning intention, right? Jita yirab dupayi. If you are in a negative state of mind, mesam yangna chekyan rung. It doesn't matter what you say, and it doesn't matter what you do. It will bring you suffering. Okay? If you do a yoga class for the wrong reason, it will cause you suffering. If you meditate with the wrong motivation, it will cause you suffering. It has to. Eventually it will, okay? If the root is poison, the fruit is poison, okay? We're not saying that you get on the mat and you don't do a 15-minute prayer to save all living beings or something. Not necessary, okay? It's okay if you get on the mat and you just want to lose some weight, you're not going to hell, okay? What he means is, if you get on the mat with great anger or great malice towards someone else in the class, you're like, I hope they break their neck, and I hope I look good, then you might go to hell, okay? There won't be any good results. So before you do yoga, just, it's okay, as I said, you can have a personal motivation. I want to look better, or I want to be stronger. But there should tack on some bodhicitta, right? So that I can help other people, you know? I can be more helpful to others if I'm healthy. Then it's a win-win. You look good, and you made really good karma. And that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be that you have to say, I hate yoga, I don't want to look good, I hope I'm chubby. And, you know, that kind of thinking is wrong also. That's also stupid thinking, all right? You should be happy and healthy and successful so you can help others, okay? And that's fine. And you don't have to do without things. Because if you collect the karma, you can have anything. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? All right, for example, we just keep in mind the guy who lost his head because of the wagon wheel. Okay? Jita, you know, but if you have a heart of devotion, and then you can say anything and you can do anything. It doesn't matter. You will get something good out of it. Will come to you. Happiness. Jibma Jesu Dharmashin. Don't forget the shadow that followed the boy. Okay. So sometimes they say the shadow didn't move, okay? And sometimes they say all the shadows of all the trees moved over to the boy and covered him. Okay, so whichever way you want to do it. Dharmashin. Shesim batar kuno sangyen ki debu tong chu su dindar chungare. Say tong chu. Tong chu. What's tong mean? Now we just had it. To see. What's chu mean? Dharma, thing, okay? Tong chu in scripture and tong chu in colloquial Tibetan means you can see that that kind of stuff happens. Tong chu means it's a thing you can see. But what it means is you, in your own life, you've seen many examples, okay? Two people do the same action. One person is doing it out of extreme competitiveness and anger. And then, like a yoga class. And then the other person that wants to just help other people in the yoga class. And you can see, you have seen yourself many cases in your own life where somebody got something beautiful because their motivation was sweet, and somebody else had a disaster because their motivation wasn't sweet, okay? Tongchun means we've all seen that. Everybody can see that. You can observe that in your own life. Tongchun said, Denda Chumare. Dena Gejor. Keep going. By the way, we got another 5 minutes. Hang in there. I hate to teach in the afternoon, but it's better than not teaching, right? Okay. Tonight we'll have more fun. Dena Gejor ki goi kunlong sam member du gyunduan kuno sambo chepa kelche. Then he says, therefore, I'm not just talking about meditation sessions. Okay? Before you do anything, you should examine your own motivation. Why am I doing this? Okay? Why am I going to do this? Right? If you feel sad or if you feel depressed or if events have been heavy for you recently or blah, 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 then it's an insufficient motivation. Okay? It means you must have some other motivation. Okay? If the motivation for what you're doing is devotion, is love, is compassion, is to serve others. Nothing stops you, and nothing delays you, okay? You're just like, okay, so something messed up. How can I help somebody today? What can I do for people today? And then you don't feel sad. The degree to which you feel sad by heavy events is probably a reflection of your motivation, okay? If your motivation is pure, and if you examine your motivation frequently, I don't think you can get very sad about anything, okay? Sambo Kelche, Tengdu Ragle Lu Deam She Kamti Chepe Tsudu. Nowadays, here's another Lam Rim story, okay? You ready? I like them. Nowadays, people like you and me, we ask after people's health. By the way, the Tibetan there is Kam Di. Say Kam Di. Very, very difficult word. Kam means, in this case, your body. Di means to ask. It means to inquire after someone's health. Nowadays, people like you and me, we go up to somebody and say, do you feel well? How do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? That's a question about the person's physical. In Tibetan, it's called, is your body well? Kusu debo due. Say, kusu debo due. That's how you say hi in Tibetan. That's the polite way to say hi. I'll say it again because it's useful to know, right? Kusu debo due. Is your honorable body in good condition today? Kusuk means your honorable body. Okay, debo means is it happy today? Kusu debo due. You don't say kanda yimba, how are you? Then they'd say, what do you mean, how do I exist? Or, you know, like that. You see what I mean? You say, is your body well? Okay, kusu debo due. Then su in this Tibetan here, su means in Lord Atisha, what do you say? He switched the wording around. He changed the wording of how do you do. He didn't say how is your body. Kusu debo due. He didn't say that. What did he say? Sem sambo chulam. Are you thinking kind thoughts? He didn't say how are you today. He said how is your heart today. He would say how is your heart today. He refused to say how is your body today. Okay, they do that at Shivananda in the Bahamas when we go there. When you say hi or when you say bye, they always say, what do they say? Om Namo Shivaya. I bow down to Shiva. Okay, you're like, hi, and they go, Om Namo Shivaya. And you're like, okay. But it's the same idea. It's cute. It's the same idea, you know. Are you thinking kindly? Means good morning. Okay, are you thinking kindly? Okay. Sungin Yopare. Sungkin, those of you who care, totally unusual Tibetan, and it means he used to say that all the time. Sungkin, the kin, is very rare, but it means he would say that, meaning frequently. Okay. Sungin Yopare. Jatsong Song Kapa Chimbu Kyang. Garnak lenam samba sangen lak, samba sangma sadam mam yang sang, samba mena sadam nang yang mem, tamje samba dakla rak lepe. This is like she sells seashells at the seashore. It's an alliterative, a consonants. It's consonants. It repeats the first sound. I'll do it again. Maybe you can hear it. Karna nende sampa sangena sampa sangna sada maya sang sampa men sada maya men tamde sampa dada. You see what I mean? It's an S poem. Okay? So here we go. And then we'll stop. Okay? So have hope. You get dinner after this. Jetson Sap. So Tsongkhapa used to say also, Karna lenam sampa sangena. Good and bad karma follow good and bad intention. Okay? Sampa sangna, if your intention is are pure, sadam langyan sang, you will reach high paths and high levels. Sampa mena, if your motivation is less or inferior, sadam langyan men, you will also reach inferior paths and levels. Tamje sampa dala raglepe, everything depends on your motivation. Everything. Okay? Jats, jats, and kappa. Dena kunong gi kepa de top so top chechung gi kepa shen du chete. Therefore, your spiritual realizations, the level at which you are spiritually, all depends on your motivation. Now, we can stop there. He's going to start to outline some possible motivations. He's going to give four possible motivations for meditating. Okay, he's going to say, here's four possible motivations you could have. And then he'll discuss which are better and which are not so good. Okay, all right, so we'll do that tonight. Brooks, you ready?
Sangye Shingdu Mingte Uwangi Rokun Namda Shila Chepa Sho Iram Guru Radha Mandala Kandriya Tayami Di Kyao Kun Sana Vishe Me Choshi Sana Vishe Me Choshi Dhamma Kunye Kopashi